This morning, I want us to look in Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. We're going to find ourselves on the foothills of Mount Calvary. In Mark's gospel, we've been walking with Jesus in his earthly ministry. It began with these words of John the Baptist that he said this in Mark chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. He says, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." As John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he said, "There's one that's much mightier than I." Jesus was baptized by John, led into wilderness to be tempted by Satan, and he came out preaching these words, "Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus had ministered faithfully to the nation of Israel. He had preached the truth. He had healed the sick. He had cast out demons. He was overthrowing the powers of darkness. And the people were astonished at his power and at his glory. And they said in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 37, "He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Can you imagine what it must have been like to have seen the glory and the power of God at work in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? His popularity grew, but so did his opposition. The Herodians and the Pharisees began to plot, even at an early stage, that we must get rid of this man. You know, that's the same cry that the world gives today, that we need to get rid of this man. If we can overthrow the Christians and destroy the spiritual life and the morality that that book is telling us about this man, then we'll be better off. But I'll tell you that they tried to destroy him. But Jesus even said that to his disciples, that we're going to be going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and I'm going to be killed, but on the third day I am going to rise again. As we see him entering into Jerusalem during that last week, you see, as we look in Mark chapter 15, we're going to find him at that last day, the last day before his death, or actually the day of his death. And at the beginning of the week, Jesus had gone into Jerusalem, and everyone was crying, "Hosanna, thou son of David. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord." But we're going to find, as we look at the passage today, that man's sin is always ugly and dark and twisted and perverted. But the closer that Jesus gets to the cross, and as you read it and you begin to read the Word of God slowly, we begin to see that His glory begins to expose the darkness and the sin in our lives. And so what will happen to this servant of the Lord? What is going to happen to the Son of God that has come down into this world? And here's where we pick up this morning. I want to preach to you this morning with the help of the Lord. I ask you, I need the Lord's help this morning. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me. And I pray not only that He'll help me in preaching, but that He might open up our hearts, that we might see Jesus this morning and what He has done and what He has accomplished for us, that we might be saved by God's grace. So the title this morning is going to be "The King of the Jews." The King of the Jews. And I want us to consider a few things out of this passage. The King of the Jews suffers persecution. The king is silenced. Is the king silenced before Pontius Pilate? And then finally, I want us to see the king's sentence. We're talking about the Lord of glory this morning, and we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But He has come to this world to save sinners like you and me. Let's begin reading in verse 1. It says here in Mark chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried Him away and delivered Him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, 'Art thou the King of the Jews?' And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. And Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will you that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. And the chief priests moved the people that he should release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answering and said again unto them, What will you then that I shall do unto him whom you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. As we consider Jesus here, he's standing before the Sanhedrin and he's suffering persecution. I want to remind you that he had just partaken of that Passover meal. All of those elements in that Passover meal that he transferred over into the Lord's Supper were pictures of him, that he is our Passover. He is our deliverer. He had been in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had been praying throughout the night. He said there was a cup that was standing before him that he was going to have to drink, that the Father had prepared for him. He was going to drink down the wrath of God toward our sin. And as he began to peer into that cup, it said that his sweat became great drops of blood. It wasn't going to be an easy thing for him to purchase our freedom. But yet he said, Not my will, but your will be done. There on that night, as he had prepared his disciples, there was a Judas who had gone off and betrayed him and said, I'd rather have 30 pieces of silver rather than eternal life. And he sold himself out. And it reminds me of what Jesus said, What shall it profit a man if he gains the entire world but yet loses his soul? I want you to know this morning, I pray that there's not a single one in this room that will lose their soul over a few dollars or hundreds of dollars or even millions of dollars, because as Brother Steve just saying, I'd rather have Jesus rather than silver and gold, because he's the only one that can purchase our redemption, that can pay the price and pay the penalty that you and I deserve. As Jesus was arrested, it tells us that he was led off to the high priest's house, where he was questioned and he was interrogated. He was abandoned by his disciples. He was denied even by the apostle Peter. We see him here in verse 1. It says, And straightway in the morning the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. And so Jesus was the subject of their consultation this morning. This meeting probably occurred about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Jesus had been up all night. Much like it was in the days of that first Exodus, when they had slain that Passover lamb and that blood had been applied to the doorpost. And God said, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I want you to be reminded that Jesus here was leading another Exodus. But He wasn't just leading His people out of Egypt into the promised land. Jesus was about an Exodus that would lead us out of this world into a heavenly country. I'll tell you, and His blood must be applied to your life. And they're consulting against him, and they began to interrogate him, and they asked him, Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? Tell us. Jesus responded unto them that he said, If I tell you, you will not believe. You know, there's so many that are blinded by pride this morning. that they do not want to believe. And much like it was in the days here, as they began to consult and began to question Jesus, He tells us in Luke's Gospel chapter 22 and verse 68, He said, "If I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go." Because they already had their minds made up what they wanted to do with Jesus. You know, there's so many in the world today that have their minds made up on what they want to do with Jesus, and they do not want to submit to Him. Even though He is the Lord of glory, even though one of these days God is going to judge the world by that man whom He has raised from the dead, there are many in this world that say, "I've already made my mind up on Jesus, and I do not want to worship Him, and I don't want to go to church, and I don't want to serve Him." But I was reminded of that man this week. That man that I saw, he told his wife, "I'll just go to church one time with you. That's all I'm going to go." But oh, something about that man, Jesus, something about the King of the Jews, and something about hearing the glorious gospel of our God began to trouble his soul and began to show him that, hey, I'm going to have to answer for this man one of these days. And I thank God that He begins to humble us and work on us. As Jesus stood there before the Sanhedrin, the elders, those that should have known that the Messiah was going to come, that this one that was going to deliver them, not from Roman rule, but He was going to deliver them from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin and from the presence of sin. That's good news this morning, because you and I deserve to pay the full price for our sin. We deserve to, because of our sin, has been an offense against the Holy God. We deserve to spend an eternity in hell, but there has been one that God has sent into this world to take care of that penalty and also break the power of sin, because we've all been slaves of sin, and Jesus came to break off the power of that sin. And one of these days, because He's paid the penalty and He's broken the power, one of these days He was going to free us up to such a degree that we would be able to live in glory with Him, free from the presence of sin for all of eternity. And as they begin to question Jesus, Jesus tells them that you're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory with My Father's angels. And He began to relate Himself to the Son of Man that's found over in Daniel chapter 7. He says that He is going to give Him an everlasting dominion and a glory and a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And there would be an international community that would worship Him. People from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And it's a wonderful thing this morning to be subjected to that great King of the Jews this morning. I'll tell you, He's ruling and reigning over my heart. And I pray that He's doing the same in your hearts. But as Jesus stood there before the Sanhedrin court, they began to hear these things that Jesus said. They said, "He is guilty of blaspheming. He's guilty of blaspheming the name," because they knew that Jesus had put Himself on equal standing with God. Now, if someone were to do something like that, according to the Old Testament law, you can read about it in Leviticus chapter, I believe, 24, verse 10. It tells us that one that blasphemes the name of God is worthy of death. Under the old Jewish law, this was under their law. And if Jesus, he's saying some powerful things here, that either He is the Son of God or He's not. And so they denied Him and they rejected Him. He had come to His own, but His own received Him not. And they said, "He is guilty of blasphemy." They knew they could not put Him to death because the Romans had ruled over them. And so they knew they were going to have to go to Pontius Pilate and to bring Him before Him. And it tells us here in this first verse that they bound Jesus. I want you to see Jesus this morning and what He went through to purchase our redemption. That stuck with me, to think that our very Lord, the very fingers that scattered the stars in the universe, was bound up and He was led away captive. He submitted himself to the Father's will that he would be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because he knew that's what it was going to take, that death might be crushed to death and life would be mine to live. It was going to take him a going to a cross that you and I might be set free. We value freedom here, don't we? We're thankful for freedom, but I'll tell you that we live in one of the greatest nations on the planet, that we enjoy liberty and justice for all. But I'll tell you that we enjoy even greater freedoms here this morning, as we know that Christ has set us free, and we know that the truth will set us free. And so they bound Jesus. The Jewish authorities led him away, and he delivered him over to the Roman authorities. And Jesus stands here before Pilate. Pilate is the proconsul. He had ruled from A.D. 26 to about A.D. 36 during the time of John the Baptist's ministry. And they bring him before him. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he answered, "That's what you say. Thou sayest it." As the Jewish authorities had brought Jesus over to him, they made some accusations in Luke chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. They began to say that Jesus was accused of perverting the nation. They were saying that Jesus was misleading the nation of Israel as he began to teach in Galilee all the way down to the temple in Jerusalem. You know, I know Jesus was he was stirring up the nation, much like they saw the old prophet Elijah. Ahab, it was the king in that day. He said, aren't you the troubler of Israel? Because Elijah, as he began to preach, he began to quicken the consciences of man, and he began to lay it out there. And I'll tell you, Jesus did the same thing. The early disciples did the same thing as they began to stand for the truth. And even us today, as we stand for the truth, you know that the world doesn't want to hear the truth. They don't want you to witness to the truth. They don't want you to even mention the name Jesus, because there's something powerful about that name. And they accused those early disciples, much like they accused Jesus. They said of those early disciples that they were guilty of turning the world upside down. I'll tell you this morning, the world is already upside down. All you got to do is turn on the news and see the confusion that is being propagated everywhere around us, where evil is called good and good is called evil. They even say that preaching the gospel is almost getting on the verge of hate speech. It's getting that wild. But they accused Jesus of perverting the nation. They accused him of not wanting to pay taxes to Caesar. But he said that he had already told them, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and the things unto God that are God's." And they accused him of saying that he himself is Christ the King. And they turned it into a political motivation to say that he is trying to run a campaign against Caesar, and he's trying to run a grassroots effort. But I'll tell you, Jesus wasn't concerned about overthrowing the Caesar. He was concerned about reigning in the hearts of humanity. So Pilate said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" What does that term even mean? Back when Jacob began to bless his sons, he said in Genesis chapter 49 that the scepter would not depart out of the loins of Judah. He said there was going to become a lion from the tribe of Judah. David was given the promise that there would be one, a son that would be born unto him, that would provide an everlasting house, and that would sit on an eternal throne, and that would have a kingdom that shall never be moved. Jeremiah the prophet said that there would be one, a righteous branch, a king of justice and righteousness that would come into this world. And we get over to the New Testament, and when the old Christmas story that said that that we usually read, and we lump this in there, but actually the wise men came a little bit later, but when they came into Jerusalem, they said, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" We have seen His star, that star that Balaam said, that a star of Jacob was going to rise. That this king had arrived here in this world. And even Zechariah had said that there was going to be one, that Israel's king would come into the city riding on a donkey, on an animal of peace. That He would be humble and lowly, and He would be bringing salvation to His people. And just a few days prior, Jesus had come into the city of Jerusalem. You know, this morning He's still humble, and He's still lowly. And He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon Me and learn of Me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." You know, today He still has salvation and eternal salvation that He can give to you and grant unto you. And so, as He was standing before Him, Jesus knew who He was. He said, "Pilate, you say so." Over in a private conversation with Pilate, you see, he had brought before Pilate a couple times, and Pilate eventually asked him, he asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "Do you say this of yourself, or have others told you?" Pilate responded over in John's Gospel. He said, "Am I a Jew? It's your own nation and the chief priests that have brought you and handed you over to Me." And Jesus made this statement to him. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." We talked about this morning in Sunday school that we're pilgrims and strangers in this land, that this world is not our home. Like Abraham, the father of faith, he said he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was seeking a better country. He knew that there was a better place to go. And I'll tell you, as you turn on the news and see all that's going on in our world, we see a world that's broken and filled with sin and tragedy all around us. Certainly there's got to be something better. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. For if My kingdom was of this world, then My servants would fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But My kingdom is not from here." And then Pilate asked Him this question. He said, "Are You a king then? Are You a king then?" Listen to what Jesus had to say. He says, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears My voice." Pilate asked another important question. He said, "What is truth?" You know, the truth today is that every one of us in this room have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray, and every one of us, we need a deliverer, don't we? We need someone to liberate us. We need someone to provide our freedom. We need someone to come on the scene and to take that burden of sin and take that penalty and free us from the power of sin. And Jesus had come into the world for just a thing like that. But those chief priests continued to accuse Him. They wanted to stomp out His name. They wanted to destroy Him. As Jesus stood there before Pilate, He said, "Are you going to say anything? Are you going to answer any of these accusations that they bring about you?" And it said Jesus was silent. You know that He was fulfilling the Scriptures. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. "He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before His shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth." This is the Lamb of God. Pilate was amazed at the silence of Jesus. You know, the truth will stand for itself. It tells us in this passage and throughout the Scriptures that as Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, He was later sent over to Herod. They examined Him thoroughly. This is the Roman ruler, and this is the ruler over the Jews. And they examined Him, and they both said this: "I find no fault in this man." much like that Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12, had to be examined for 4 days, and they had to make sure that that lamb was without spot and without blemish. Jesus had come into this world. He was sinless. He was the just and righteous one of God that was going to come into this world. And we see them going and proceeding further in this, that this king is going to be sentenced. There was a custom in that day that on one of the feast days that Pilate would release one of the prisoners. And so as they began to talk to Pilate, they saw that Pilate was seeing there's nothing wrong in this man, but for jealousy, for envy, and for strife, they hated Jesus without a cause. You know, you may go to your workplace and you may stand up for the Lord. You may be a witness. And I just want to remind you that they may hate you without a cause. It may just because you bring Jesus into the workplace or you bring Jesus into this community. They may say, hey, I just don't like you because there's something about you. You're standing for truth. And when you go about your work, you don't want to do things the wrong way. You want to do them the right way, the way that God would want you to do them. And there's something about the way you live your life that just adds them. I'll tell you, the gospel and the truth will be an agitation in the hearts and the minds of the unbelievers, and it'll bring them down from their pride and it'll allow them to see, hey, there's something different about you. And so they wanted to stomp out Jesus. It says, now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner whomsoever they desired, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him who had committed murder and insurrection. Don't you see the hearts of these people? Jesus is sinless. He is righteous and he is just. And Pilate brings up Barabbas. He was a notorious prisoner. He was known as a freedom fighter. He wanted to overthrow Rome, and he was willing to rebel against the government of Rome and even committed murder for the purpose of overthrowing the state of Rome. So everyone saw him as a freedom fighter, but he was a notorious, he was infamous. He was a criminal of the state, a real terrorist. He was a robber, the Scripture tells us. And even taking someone's life, and oh, what a picture this is of man's heart, that man would rather choose a someone like this rather than the Son of God. The crowd came to request this of Pilate. Pilate said to him, do you want me to release unto you the King of the Jews? But yet we see here this great exchange taking place, that the guilty was going to go free, and the innocent was going to be laid and charged as guilty. Oh, what a picture of what Jesus has done for us, that we are all, in a sense, like Barabbas. We've all sinned. We're all held criminals before the high court of heaven. We've all transgressed God's law. But Jesus would stand in our place. As Pilate began to talk with the crowds and the chief priests, he had an opportunity to release Jesus. He had been arrested. He had been brought to his charge. And in a sense, I believe that Pilate wanted to have a way out. He said, do you want me to release unto you the King of the Jews? Is that the one that you want me to release unto you? And they began to stir up the crowds and they began to cry, do not release unto him unto us, but we want Barabbas. And he said, what do you want us to do with this man? Who is the King of the Jews? They said, crucify him. Crucify him. The Lord has said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. He knew by what death he would die. The picture had already been painted in the Old Testament.
Do you remember there in the Old Testament when God had sent those, the people of Israel had begun complaining and grumbling against the Lord, and God sent those fiery serpents there in their midst, and as they began to complain against the Lord, they began to die off because of those snake bites. I'll tell you, we've been bitten by something worse than snake bites. We've got sin and the venom of sin running through our veins. But over there, Moses was instructed by God. He said, I want you to take a brazen serpent, and I want you to hang it up on a pole. And he said that, I'm not going to remove the snakes, but if you'll look up to that snake that's hanging there on that pole, that brazen serpent that's on the pole, if you'll look unto him, you will live. You know, imagine just the chief priests and the scribes, they begin to influence that crowd and say, hey, we need to crucify him. We need to put him to death. We've got to get rid of that name. And louder, those chants began to be, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The hosannas of earlier in the week had turned on him. Popularity had turned to disfavor and disgrace and humiliation. Pilate sentenced him to a scourging. Tied into a post with a cat of nine tails, with bone fragments and metal fragments, and they began to beat upon his back. They began to rip the flesh from his back as they pounded him. Pilate's idea was that if we beat him bad enough, then I can present him and they will want to have him released. But yet even still, the world cried, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate gave in to the worldly pressure, and he sentenced his soldiers to take him and to scourge him and to nail him to the cross. Often as a victim was being taken to the cross, they would wear a chain about their neck that would have a placard on what they were guilty of. So that placard that was placed above the cross said, this is the King of the Jews. You know, Jesus was willing to go to the cross for you and I. The King of love. The King of glory. Who am I that a king would lay down his life for me? Who am I? Who am I? Who are you? But yet Jesus would submit to the Father's will that you and I could go free. It's humbling this morning, isn't it? To think what Jesus went through that you and I could be saved by God's grace. It says there, in verse 15, so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Pilate had pardoned a criminal and condemned the Lord of glory. Jesus, as he would go to the cross, the physical beating, the cross, that was the worst that man's wrath could do unto him. And it was awful and terrible to see that. But the bigger picture is the fact that Jesus would become sin for us who knew no sin. The sinless one would bear our sin upon that cross. That he would die there. That our sin, not in part, but the whole, could be nailed to the cross. That you and I would bear it no more. Much like it was there as I shared that story when those serpents were there biting the people and they were dying, for the wages of sin is death. But as Moses stood up that pole there with that brazen serpent, he said, if you'll look unto him, then you can live. I tell you that when they began to get bitten, there were some that began to run over. They knew they were about to die. And I'll tell you, all of our sin is going to lead us to a physical death. And if not taken care of, it's going to lead us to a away spiritual death, and possibly we're already spiritually dead without Him, but it could lead us to an eternal death. But this morning, if you would see Jesus and what He did for us, this King of the Jews, this King of love, that He was lifted up high on that cross, that He might stand there in your place and to take on our punishment and our sin and our shame and our humiliation, that if you would look to Him, miracles can happen. You know those people in the crowd there that were being bitten by those snakes? Can you imagine? Moses, the mediator, had given them the instructions on doing this. God had given Moses a message. The message I've got this morning, the only message I've got, is the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I'm telling you about one man, one Redeemer, that if you'll look to Him, then you can be made alive. Because all of us were in that crowd. All of us, in a sense, have had a hammer in our hands, saying, I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. But you know what Jesus came into this world to do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He said, I'm going to call out some disciples out of that crowd. And He said, if anyone wants to follow Me, let him take up his cross. You've got your own cross to bear. Deny yourself and follow after Me. This morning I'm grateful to be a follower of Jesus. I'm grateful that He's done a miracle in my life. Because if not for His grace, I might still be blinded in my sin. If not for His grace, I might still be set in my mind of what I thought this life was all about. But by God's grace, He's humbled you. And He brought you to the cross that you might see Jesus, that you might see the One who came into the world to save sinners like you and me. I pray this morning, if you've been saved by God's grace, as you consider the persecution and the ridicule and all that Jesus bore on our behalf and that He took on our sin on the cross, I pray that it might humble us and cause us to be allegiance, to pledge our allegiance to Him. He's the One that has given us our ultimate freedom. If you're here and you're separated from God, I want you to know that all you've got to do is look to Him. And you can be made alive. You can be made brand new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Though you walk in the powers of darkness, God has the power to translate you into the kingdom of His dear Son. There's a transaction that takes place in your heart and your life. This church, Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. You know, we as a church have been called to advance His kingdom in this world. And you may be here this morning. You may need to say, hey, I've got to pledge my allegiance to Him. And maybe you haven't followed Him in believer's baptism. And you may need to say, hey, if He was willing to humble Himself to that degree, I'm willing to follow Him, whatever it takes. And you may need to come and say, hey, I need to be a part of this church. And you need to follow Him in baptism, that you might unite yourself with the Lord's church, and you might be able to say, hey, I want to be in that army that's not carrying around swords and knives, but we're carrying around the living Word of God that humbles men, that shows us that there's only one Savior that came to this world to set us free. And if you know Him, He can make you free indeed. I pray that you'll heed the message. I pray that hearing about Jesus has been a blessing to you this morning as we get a song and sing.